Desire your prayers this morning. We have a little burden on our heart. Thankful to know, we sang the song, Jesus is coming soon. He is, but Jesus did tell us to be ready. For as such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So my desire is to be ready and to be faithful to what He has for me to do. He has something for all of us to do. I'd like to speak a little bit this morning about the value of a friend. The value of a friend. We've all had friends and probably have friends. And some friends, you know, I think about, I graduated from high school 50 years ago this year. So I remember a friend that I had in high school. His name was Tom Teague. We were very close. We went a lot of places together. We both had a lot of the same likes and dislikes. A friend that you could have confidence in and that you could share your thoughts with, your secrets maybe. I remember graduated in 66. Wife and I, he moved to California, and wife and I went out there in 76. 10 years later, and looked him up. We stayed at his house for a couple days. That's the last time I've seen him. Don't know how to get a hold of him. Don't know if he's still alive and where he is. But he was a good friend, but he was temporary. He was only a temporary friend. I have friends now that are my friends still yet today. And I thank the Lord for my friends. They're valuable to me. The saying is, no man is an island. And I think we need each other. I know we need each other. And I'm thankful today to know a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To know a friend that is valuable to me in understanding my needs, understanding the things that affect me and touch my life. He understands my makeup. He understands my hurts, my sorrows and my pains, and he helps me to be able to deal with those in my little way and give me the grace and strength to be able to go on and be faithful. My desire this morning is that in the midst of the grief and the sorrow that we all face, that we never lose our joy, that we never lose our peace, because I know we all are suffering things. I know we're all grieved about things that are happening and going on today, whether it be family, whether it be the condition of our country, whatever it might be. Maybe even possibly things that are happening among us in the church. But I believe the Lord wants us to keep our joy. He wants us to keep our peace. And He's a friend that sticks real close to me. He's one that I lean on very hard and very heavily. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'd like for us to read about a couple of friends that we find in the Word of God. And Lord, help us to try to learn from their friendship. But it's found in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. And let's read what it says about these two fellows. 1 Samuel 18 and 1 says, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And then Jonathan and David. Jonathan was Saul's son. David was the young boy or the young man that killed the giant Goliath. And it says Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. I think about the friendship that they had here. It was very deep, wasn't it? There was a kindness and a love that was shared between these two young men that they were determined they wasn't going to let anything come between them. And it says they made a covenant. I'm sure we all know what a covenant is. If I make a covenant with someone, that covenant is usually made for that individual. God made a covenant with us, didn't he? He coveted with us the right and the hope of eternal life, a covenant of peace, a covenant of salvation, a covenant of deliverance. These two young men made a covenant. My understanding is that in their day they would slit their wrist and bring a little bit of blood, and then they would mingle their blood together. And you've heard of the term blood brothers. And they mingled their blood together and they began to consider the other as a family member, a part of the family, a part of themselves. I think about something I read about the old ancients. They said friendships produce an entire oneness. One soul in two bodies, a friend, is another self. That's what the old ancients called friends. Let me read that again. Friendship produces an entire sameness. One soul in two bodies, a friend, is another self. Someone that you feel that is a lot like you, understands the things that you face and that you deal with, cares about what happens to you, cares about the things that are important to you. David and Jonathan, they made a friendship here through a covenant that would stand for the rest of their lives. Nothing would come between. No one could say anything. Jonathan's father, King Saul, he had an evil spirit that the Lord had sent him, and he had a lot of trouble with David, didn't he? Because David was being exalted in the eyes of the people by God himself. And Saul had an evil spirit, and he began to hate David, and he wanted to kill David. But Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan is the one that God used to stand in the gap for David, to protect him and defend him when Jonathan, or when King Saul was trying to take David's life. He threw a javelin at David twice, and David was able to escape out of his way. But this covenant that they made went very deep, right to the own soul, right down to the soul, right down of who they are, who they were, and what they felt with one another. In other words, what happened to David affected Jonathan. What happened to Jonathan affected David. Isn't that a lot like, do you see the resemblance of the covenant that you and I have with God today? He made a covenant with us. The covenant is for our benefit. It's for our good, to help us in our struggles, in our trials, in our troubles in life. He cares about us. He's concerned about what touches us. It said Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Folks, I read in the Word of God where Jesus because he went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood. Folks, he's given you and I this morning a robe of righteousness. Because of his faithfulness to go to the cross, he's given us many benefits and many blessings. He gave us a change of garment, didn't he? He gave us a robe of righteousness. And it said here that he gave to David even his sword and his bow. God has given us, folks, the weapons that you and I need to stand and be true and faithful, even in these perilous times that we live in today. God has availed himself of everything that he has for you and I. He hasn't held anything back. He made a covenant with us. You know, that's the same thing that we enter into when we enter into a marriage. When a man and a woman come together, it is blessed. It is blessed if they have a covenant marriage. Because each one, their greatest desire is to please the other. Their greatest desire is to see to it that the other is the one that is happy. To do whatever they have to do, to go whatever distance they have to go, to be willing to forgive, to be willing to forget, to be willing to humble themselves, to be willing to be understanding and caring about what affects each other. That's a covenant that we enter into, and it's made for the other person. It's not made for me. When I made a covenant with God, folks, my covenant was made that I might please Him, that I might glorify Him, that I might be faithful to Him, that I might do His will down through my life. I made a covenant with the Lord right there at the altar. And I'm thankful for that covenant today. It means so much to me. But I think of what he said here. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I sat there yesterday and watched my wife. She was sitting there knitting. She's taking a string of yarn and she's making something out of it. And you know, when she does that knitting, she brings that string together and she makes something that you really can't pull apart. It makes it firm. There's a consistency to it. There's a solidness to it. Yeah, it's flexible. And I'm glad today that God allows you and I to be flexible. I'm glad that there's liberty in the Lord. There's liberty in God. But yet we know our limits, don't we? Because we have made a covenant with God that we want to please Him and we want to serve Him and we want to glorify Him. And she can take that needle and that one string and those two needles and knit this thing together and make pretty much whatever she wants to out of it. Their souls was knit together. Nothing could pull them apart. I think about the covenant. I want to read something else that he said here in the 20th chapter. And this is Jonathan in the 20th chapter in the 14th verse. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemy. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. You know the end of that story, folks? Jonathan died. And David became king of the house of Israel. And when David became king, he remembered the covenant. He remembered the promise that he had made to Jonathan. And he began to inquire of the people around him, is there anyone left in the house of Saul? Is there anyone still alive in the house of Saul? His greatest enemy at that time. But he made a covenant with his son, a covenant of promise, a covenant of caring and of kindness and of love. And he made a covenant that he was determined and he was bound to keep. And someone said, yes, Jonathan. He had a son named Mephibosheth. He had a son named Mephibosheth. But he lives in someone's house and he's crippled because his nurse dropped him when he was a child and he's been crippled all of his life. David said, go get him for me. And he brought Mephibosheth into his house. And he told him, he said, as long as you live, you'll eat here. You'll dwell here. And he said, everything that was your grandfather's kingdom, I give it unto you. The land that I give unto you. And he blessed Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't feel honored, feel worthy of what was happening. But he made a covenant, and he kept that covenant. Folks, in your and I's difficulties, in your and I's hardship, God has made a covenant with us. He said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. This covenant was made in blood, folks. He spilled his blood on the cross, on the tree, for you and I, and he's going to stand by that. We may have friends here in this life that may forsake us. We may have friends that may betray us. God will never forsake us. He will never betray you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your minds. He knows your motives. He knows your intentions. He knows what's hurting you. He knows your sorrows. He knows your griefs. And God is going to stand by you wherever you have to go through in this life. Because he's made a covenant with his people. I think about Jesus. He told the disciples in the 16th chapter of Matthew. He talked about this church, didn't he? He said, on this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Aren't we in a safe place today? Isn't the church a safe haven today? Jesus told the disciples, he made a covenant there. I'm going to build my church. And because God himself in the flesh said the gates of hell, all the wisdom of the world, all the wisdom of hell that would come against the church cannot and will not prevail over the truth that are so precious to you and I today. It isn't going to prevail, folks. So I want your faith to be increased. I want you to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, Lord, help us today, folks. We're fighting battles, and I know that, but we're fighting from the winning side, and we're on the winning side with Jesus today. Now, I want your faith to be strong. I want you to look up, and I want you to keep your eyes on the very one that made a covenant in blood when he died on that cross for you and I. Let your faith be strong. Be faithful, folks, at whatever it is that you have to do. Whatever it is that you have to go through. You're not always going to understand it. But, folks, we can trust God. Even when I don't understand, Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, why are you permitting this? Why are you allowing this to happen? But I'm going to trust you because your way is best. You know what's best. And you promised that you would allow things to affect my life that would help me make it to heaven if I'll stay faithful. And that if I'll follow you. And that's what he wants to do, folks. He wants to help us make heaven our home. These two fellows loved each other with pure hearts, the scripture says. Their souls knit together. Folks, that gets down pretty close to home, doesn't it? When we talk about our souls being knit together. Folks, you and I in the brotherhood of the saints, friendship with Jesus Christ and his people, you and I need to be knit together. We need to be solid strong. We need to be able that when others may come and they have something to say about my friend, that I'm not going to accept those kind of things. I'm not going to imbibe that kind of stuff. But I'm going to keep my trust and my friend where I have a love and respect for them and an honor for them that I don't accept such things that may come against that in my relationship with my friend. That's the way God is. Didn't Jesus say, the world's going to hate you because it hates me? Does that mean, well, if I follow Jesus, that means the world's going to hate me? So be it, folks. I'm not in this to please man. I'm not in this to please the world. I'm running for my soul. I'm running for heaven, and that's my heart's greatest desire and my greatest purpose and intent in life. is to run for my soul. They had a friendship that couldn't be affected with changes or chances. Life has a lot of changes in it, doesn't it? We all can be sure that there's going to be change in life. But folks, we don't have to let that affect our covenant that we have made with God. I thank the Lord that I understand a little bit this morning about the value of a true friendship. This friendship is intimate. I can tell him my deepest secrets. I can expose myself to him of my own human nature, of my own faults and my own weaknesses. I can expose that to him. And when he sees that, he's going to help me understand those things. And eventually, if I will be faithful, he'll give me victory and power to conquer those things in my life, that I can be successful for him. Oh, that's my heart's desire, folks, and I know it is yours, to be successful for the Lord. I was reading a scripture the other day. I think I'll turn to it. It's found in the 10th chapter of Acts. See if I can find it. When Peter was called in to Cornelius, and it says here, oh, where's that at here? It's in the 10th chapter. I didn't have that written down. He sent for him. He began to speak to him there. Oh, here it is. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad of God's perfection and holiness this morning? He made us. Not any of us had any input in what we were going to look like. Not any of us really had an input of what kind of personality we were going to have. Now I understand that experiences and time will bring about a personality in people's lives. But he's no respecter of persons, no matter who we are, no matter how weak we are, no matter how feeble we are. He's no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted. Oh, I got to thinking about that. Lord, oh God, I want to be accepted. I want to be accepted. Peter said, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness. Saints, I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to be faithful. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Live a righteous, a holy, and a godly life. The scriptures promise us we'll be accepted. Paul said in another place that we be accepted in the beloved. I want to be accepted. You know, I may not please everybody else, and I know I won't. It'd be futile for me to waste my time to try to please everybody. I've had people talk about, seems like you can't please everybody. I said, God can't please everybody. Why would I try? You get in places out in where there's other people around, and they start talking about the weather. And this one over here says they like it hot. This one over here likes it cold. This one here likes sunshine. This one over here likes cloudy. My suggestion is you just hang around here long enough and you'll get what you like. We're not here to please everybody. But saints, we are knit together by the same blood. We have the same Father, don't we? We have His same blood, the royal blood flowing within our spiritual veins today. And it brings you and I together, knit tight in a covenant. The value of a friend, or can I say the value of a brother, that no one can come along and get in between us and try to do damage to us. And right along here, I want to say something, folks. We can damage someone's reputation by talking about them. We can damage, we can rob God of what God wants to do with our brother whenever we put out things that are detrimental to their character. We can rob God. He might want to use that very one, and you go and put out things that are detrimental to his character and put suspicion in people's mind, and it may not even be true at all. It's important, the care that we have for our friends, for our brother this morning. We need to have a friendship that the devil can't get into. A friendship that the devil cannot destroy. Well, speaking of friends, I want to go over and read in the 15th chapter of the book of John. Jesus talks about it here, doesn't he? John 15 and 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For his friends. Are we willing to do what we need to do for our friends? If we see a need, are we willing to stretch out a little bit? Does our heart go out with compassion and love? I spoke about the compassion of Christ last Sunday afternoon, folks. We need that compassion for one another. We need that love for one another. I think about that Samaritan when he went down there and he found that man. He didn't know him from Adam. He didn't know the man. But he had compassion and his heart reached out to him and he took care of him, didn't he? He saw that his needs were fulfilled. Lord, help us today. Folks, we're living in a society today where it's every man for himself. It's a selfish society today. Lord, help you and I that we be knit together in love with the same Father and His blood flowing through our veins, folks, that we be kind and gentle and loving to one another and caring and have compassion and empathy for one another. When my brother goes through something that's hard and difficult that I understand, Lord, I get alone in my secret closet of prayer and say, Lord, I know what they're facing. I see what they're dealing with. Lord, my heart goes out to them. Would you please reach down and touch them? Would you please comfort them? We have a God that says that He's the God of all comfort. And He's able to comfort each and every one of us. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, we can be a friend of God if we keep His commandments. If we're obedient. His desire always has been, when He made Adam and Eve and came and talked to them and walked with them in the cool of the evening, His desire always has been to have an intimate relationship with His greatest creation. He wants that intimate relationship. He wants to know us that way. He wants us to know Him that way. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He hasn't kept anything back from us that we need to make heaven. These people, some folks seem to have a lot of questions. They want to ask the Lord this and the Lord that. Jesus answered those questions, folks. He said, let me read it again. I've called you friends for all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. Sometimes people have questions because they're too lazy to look into the Word and find the answers. Jesus hasn't held back anything for us, folks. We're His friends. And He is our friends. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you. These things I command you. It's a commandment from Jesus that you love one another. Oh, I was looking at scriptures over there in 1 John, one place John said, how can a man say he loved God and hateth his brother? There's people like that, you know. Oh yeah, I know God. And I love the Lord. Boy, I can't stand that fellow over there. How can a man do that? He said, you say you love God whom you have not seen, and you hate your brother that you do see. You see how the enemy likes to get involved in our relationships? You see how he likes to get in our minds and in our thoughts and try to get us to turn against people and people to turn against us? See how the devil does those things? I'm thankful for the friendship that I have. Some people we might feel a little closer to. Some people we might feel like they understand me a little better than others do. But folks, we're to be friends of one another. We're to be kind and gentle and loving to one another. Co-equals. Aren't we co-equals? There's no respecter of person with God. We're co-equals. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're not better than our brother or our sister. But we're co-equals. We're all on the same plane. When I was a little fella growing up over there on Tyrone Avenue, Sister Lambert always said, there's no big I's and there's no little U's. God's no respecter of persons. I can look out on my brother, see how the Lord's blessing him. I don't have to envy him. But I can thank the Lord for what He's doing in that brother's life. And if I want some of that, God has it for me too. He's got it for me too. If I'll get off my lazy bones and get up and seek for it. God has it. He has it for all of us, folks. But I'm not here to be envious of my fellow brother. I appreciate what God does in other people's lives. I appreciate it. And I just want to see Him do more with them. Make them more of a blessing. Folks, souls are being lost every day. And if God has someone He can use to go out and try to turn someone to Christ, let's stand behind them and pray for them and encourage them and make them, that the Lord will make them a blessing wherever they go. We're co-equals. We're in this together. We're not fighting different battles here. We're not putting out a fire over here. We're all fighting the same fire, folks. We're all fighting the same enemy. Common ground here. Jesus said, I call you friends. I don't hold anything back. I'll tell you everything you need to know. Sometimes maybe He doesn't tell us until we need it. Lord, I wish I knew that. Well, He'll let you know. Just like He did Abraham. Well, Lord, where am I going? I'll let you know when you get there. I'll tell you when you get there. See, friendship like this is built on trust. It's built on trust. It's built on a relationship that I don't care where my brother or sister goes. I don't care where they're working, what they're doing in their house. I have confidence in their life. I have confidence in their relationship with God. Can we have that kind of confidence in one another this morning? The devil wants to destroy confidence. He wants us to begin surmising things. And so you might have heard a story about a minister that did this or did that, but they didn't tell you who it was. So now you're wondering, well, which one is it? Is it the one that's standing before me today? Is it the one that's out there in California? The one in Oklahoma? Who is it? The devil works that way, folks. Just to break up friendships and to cause trouble, even in the church of God. Let's be friends. Let's be helpful to one another. Let's be encouraging to one another. Let's support one another. Whatever it is the Lord has for that other to do, let's support him and stand by him. If Sister Betty doesn't mind, I want to use her name right here. We were down in South Carolina. Sister Betty had a duty before her, which I think is, I just admire her in a woman of her blindness and age to stand before people and do what she did. Was I praying for her? Was I supporting her? Was I standing behind her? Absolutely, all the way. You know, we'd really, sometime we might get the idea, well, I did that under my own strength. I did that under my own, no, we're praying for one another. We're supporting one another. And you know, when I heard that things went well and that the Lord blessed, I wasn't surprised. He said, for when we ask, to believe what we're asking for, didn't He? When you stand praying, He said, believe what you're saying. Believe it. But we are to support one another. Some we don't see for a long time. Here's another sister. Pray for her every day. The burdens that she bears. The things that she goes through in life. Folks, we're friends. And the devil ain't going to come in between our friendship with his surmisings and his thoughts. I may get word that so-and-so must went out and they did this and so-and-so went out and they did that. I'm not going to let that affect me, folks. Because my imperfections, with my imperfections, who am I to judge someone else? But I'm going to pray for them. If you see someone that's been overcome, pray for them. Go to them. Encourage them. Lift them up. That scripture, I was planning on going there. Maybe we will. But I'd like to read another scripture. I'm sure that you already get the burden of my heart this morning. But I want to read scripture. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And the 8th verse. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. You know, when I have feelings against a man, I must remember that God created them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus loves them the same as He loves me. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Boy, that brings it down pretty close, doesn't it? When we think about our feelings toward our fellow man, and yet He says, you're not despising the man, you're despising God. You're rejecting God. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You know, Paul was very successful in his ministry. He was quite an apostle. He did a lot of work. He set up congregations in different countries, different places and regions over there. But folks, his desire was not he be exalted, but his desire that the brethren would esteem one another highly, that they would prosper, that they would be blessed, that they would grow and be rooted and grounded and settled and established. We read it all throughout his letters. That you increase more and more. In case you don't remember, ones that were here last Sunday morning, I spoke on spiritual increase. My desire is to see God bless each and every one of you. But I told you how to do that, didn't I? I said, you get self out of the way. And when self is not important to you, when you're not living for self, to satisfy self, you'll be like Paul. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Then you can have faith in God, can't you? Whenever self is out of the importance of self, that I think of myself so highly, and when that's out of the way, folks, then I can have faith in God because I'm trusting Him and Him alone. He's my friend. And he said he would stick closer than a brother. And he's done that. I've had just about everybody in my family disappoint me from time to time. But I've never had God disappoint me. He's never let me down. Oh, there might have been times when I thought he was a little late, but he was always right on time, wasn't he? Martha and Mary thought he was a little late, but he was right on time. He had a purpose, see, in what he was doing. And you can rest assured, folks, this friend has a purpose in what he's doing with you in your life. If you'll let him. And you'll get self out of the way. And you can have a true faith and a true trust in God. Lord, help us this morning to have that kind of faith in God. That you increase more and more. That you study to be quiet. To do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, I wonder why Paul had to tell us, say that. People are, you know, have you ever met those kind of people? They're better at directing your life than they are their own. Oh, yeah. They're out there, folks. They know more about how you should handle affairs than you do. Paul said, study to be quiet and do your own business. Take care of your own business. And work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without. And that you may have lack of nothing. You know, in Paul's care and concern for the church, and it should be for every minister, when he's encouraging the church, you see what Paul's real burden was? You see what promoted his burden? That you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Paul was always promoting the idea that I be a vessel worthy unto honor to God for the benefit of those that are lost. For the benefit of those that are looking on. And if I'm not faithful at that, I can't help them. People can see right through phoniness. They can see right through it. Let us be genuine. Let us be friends one of another. That you might walk honestly toward them that are without. And that you might have lack of nothing. Jesus said, and I won't turn to it, but it's found in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 16th verse. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. You know what you and I possess today in this great salvation? Comes all the way down from God out of heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the brotherhood, folks. Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John that we may be one even as he and the Father was one. We're all one with the Father. We're friends because he told us everything we need to know because he's interested in our spiritual welfare. He's interested in you and I making it, folks. Well, we have another little scripture found over in Proverbs 13 and 19 that says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Should we treat our brothers and our friends with carefulness? Careful what we say. Maybe engage the brain before we engage the mouth. I've had a problem with that all my life. But we need to be careful not to offend our brother. A brother offended is harder to win, harder to be won than a strong city. We want to help each other. Believe it or not, you need my help. I need your help. We need each other, and I know that song's in our book, but we do. I've heard a lot of messages. You've heard a lot of messages in your lifetime. And I've got to bring this in here. I was sitting in Brother Lewis Kimball's funeral. Brother Keith Fuller brought the eulogy. And in his eulogy, he was talking about being with Brother Kimball when Brother Kimball was with him when he had a nervous breakdown. And then he was with Brother Kimball when he had congestive heart failure and was dying. And Brother Fuller said that, and it'll stick in my mind as long as I got one. The secret to a man is another man. We need each other. We believe in God. We have faith in God and we trust God. But we cannot see God with our natural eyes, and that's a human fallacy that we have. And you and I need to be able to see our brothers and our sisters. It shores up courage. It makes us to know we're not alone. When I drove down to Tennessee years ago, and Brother Jimmy McDonald was dying with congestive heart failure. And the Lord sent me down there. And he said, I just told my wife yesterday, am I going to have to go through this by myself? He didn't mean that the Lord was forsaking him, folks. He meant, was there going to be someone to come and stand by me? Was there going to be someone to come and encourage me and help me and keep my faith up? I got a message the other day that says, you know, what I'm going through right now, I don't have words to pray, but I'm trusting the saints to pray for me. You see, we get to those places, don't we? See how weak and feeble that we really are? It's how dependent we really are on God and one another. Walked in that room. Jimmy's laying there in a hospital bed in his living room. And he reached out his hand and I said, I don't want your hand, I want your neck. We're going to hug and we're going to be brothers here. And we're going to bond, and bond we did. Prayed for him night and day. We sang, prayed, laughed, cried. We did all those things. Friends, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I know what that means. I've had those experiences, folks. You probably have too. It means something when you come in, when your brother comes in, and you're down and out, and you're in a hard and a difficult place. I remember one night just a few short years ago, pain ripping down my left leg, burning, stabbing, shooting, all kinds of pain in my left leg. And I've been doing that for weeks. My wife called the brother and they came in, prayed for me. You know, that lifted me up. It gave me courage to go on. The pain didn't go away. The Lord did bless some, but I still had it for quite some time. But the brethren coming in. What does that scripture say? We were encouraged by the coming of the brethren. You see how important that is to us? Friends? You're all my friends this morning. We're all friends. Friends of God. Friends of one another. Another scripture. We need to move along here. Another scripture in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and 1. Well, here it is. Let brotherly love continue. That means let. That word let means allow. Keep things out that will destroy your brotherly love, your friendship. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. Folks, I want to tell you something. You're going to find a time in your life when you're going to need a friend. You're going to need someone that can come and have empathy and sympathy and understanding, and someone that can pray for you and with you, someone to encourage you and lift you up. You'll live to see that day, no doubt. Because we do need each other that way. Remember them that are in bonds, those that are going through hard and difficult places, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Can we do that? Job said after he suffered all that he suffered, he said, "The Lord maketh my heart soft." Lord, help us to have a soft heart, a kindness, a gentleness, and love with one and to one another. My last scripture, and I feel like I can't leave it out. My last scripture is in Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, folks, Paul said in another place, let him that thinketh he standeth take it heed lest he fall. It doesn't matter to me how strong that a person may be in the Lord. It doesn't matter how much the Lord is blessing him and using them. I know the enemy that I fight. And I know that he's not satisfied with God blessing and using that individual. And he will do whatever he can. Whatever he can. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to come against us. He knows how to catch us off guard. I'll never forget years ago, and almost 30 years ago, when Brother Donald was preaching one time, he said, "He made me the keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard have I not kept." And as ministers, we can get so busy in the work of the Lord. We can carry so many burdens. Phones ring. People call. Burdens come in. Folks, got to take care of this one. Got to take care of this vineyard. Because if I don't keep this vineyard up to date, if I don't keep this vineyard what it ought to be, I am no help to anyone else. If I don't have my own relationship kept up to date. So I know that people can be overtaken with a fault, in a fault. But he said, you that are spiritual, you see how much I'm counting on you? You say, well, Brother Larry messed up. You know, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should. No, I tell you what you should do. You that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. We're saved this morning, but we're not safe yet. We're all fighting a common enemy. And he's not stupid, if I can say it that way. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for a long time. Not that he had to learn, but he's been doing it for a long time. He knows how to bring people down, and he's done that too. I don't want to be lost. I want to go to heaven, folks. I need you. We need each other. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The mutual bearing of one another's burdens will help a person to keep the proper ethical estimate of his own self. Be sure you have the proper estimate of your own self. Because he went on to say, if man thinketh to himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You that are spiritual, I'm counting on you, folks. I'm counting on you to be spiritual. Been preaching my heart out here. Been a pastor here now for 23 years. Which means absolutely nothing. There's no extra pension for that. But I've endeavored to be faithful. And I want to see people grow. I want to see people get stronger in the Lord. I want to see us knit together as a congregation, supporting one another. When a brother is in need, or if a brother should be overtaken in a fault, Lord, help us to handle that the right way. There's a wrong way. There's a wrong way to handle that. Lord, help us to handle it the right way. Lift them up, not push them down. Not go around bad-mouth and talk about them. But to lift them up in the spirit of meekness. May the Lord bless us today. I tell you, It means a lot to me to have a covenant relationship with God. I thank Him for His robe of righteousness, the robe of purity, the robe of holiness, the robe of godliness of which this world knows nothing about. As a whole, our nation has become an ungodly nation and of ungodly people. But I'm thankful there's always, 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 always going to be the saints. And if the time comes when we stop praying and stop being faithful to the heritage that we have, the Lord's going to come back. God's going to say it's enough someday. In the meantime, let us be kindly, the Scripture says, kindly affection one to another. Lord, help us to support one another, encourage one another. I may not understand you. Your personality may be totally different than mine. But that don't change the way that we love one another and that we care for one another. That don't change that at all. God loves me in spite of who I am. He loves us all today. Let's have a love one for another. Pray for me.